This is December 2nd at 6:04, Ulster County Traffic Safety Board meeting.
Thank you. We'll start out on the agenda here. We'll do welcome and introductions. I'm Eric Kite. I work for New York City Department of Environmental Protection, and I have area of concern of the Route 28A and Route 55A and the roads around the New York City reservoirs.
Hi, John Arusso, retired from Ulster BOCES. I'm also still a member of the Mid-Hudson School Transportation Association, and I support school buses.
And I'm Brian Slack. I'm Principal Transportation Planner for the Ulster County Planning Department. I'm the coordinator for the Traffic Safety Board.
I'm Dave Corrigan. I'm a resident engineer. I oversee state highways within Ulster County.
Hello, Eric Bowling. I'm an investigator with the Ulster County District Attorney's Office.
So that's 1, 2, 3, 4 voting members present. That is not a quorum at the moment. If that changes, I'll let you know.
Roger that. Do we want to go ahead and proceed with anything on the agenda as far as approving the minutes from October 7th, 2024?
I think we'll have to postpone that, I guess.
Duly noted.
I do have copies in case anyone needs a copy. Catch up at the next meeting.
We will move on to the next section of public comments. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, should I stand up?
Please.
Sure. Be comfortable.
Whatever most comfortable.
Comfortable?
Yeah.
Be comfortable.
In any case, I had written this letter August 30th, 2021, and sent it in to the head of the Department of Transportation at the time, who I guess it was kind of the end of the pandemic and things were kind of hectic and crazy, so along with other things that might not have gotten done, this was nothing really happened with this at the time. And I'm going to read part of it because I spent a lot of time writing it back then. Over the last few years, we've seen a lot of signs that say, beware of bicycles. And I think that that's a good place to start. What I'm talking about today are the rules for bikers, drivers, and it relates to pedestrians as well. So we've seen a lot of signs that say expect bicycles on the road. And while being aware of bicycles is a really good place to start, I've become aware of additional factors which I believe are equally as important. Recently, I was involved in a potentially dangerous situation. I was leaving a business on 209 in Accord, and I was making a right-hand turn to go north, and there was a curve, so you couldn't really see very well in both directions. So, going to the right. So I looked again quickly before I went, and I went, and a biker, I just missed hitting a biker coming towards me in my lane, which was definitely the wrong lane for the biker to be in, and I just missed him by going around him. Luckily, there was nobody in the other lane coming south, and I missed the biker, didn't get hit by a car. He was mad at me. I was terrified because of what could have happened. He was shaking his fist and everything else, but he was the one who was wrong, and I didn't hit him. Okay? So the close proximity of what could have happened upset me as well as the biker. Less than a week later, I again saw another biker going south on 209 in the wrong direction. And then I started mentioning this to friends who found that this kind of thing is not unusual. People are not following the rules of the road. Bikers and pedestrians sort of go into this as well, although I'm not talking specifically about pedestrians right now. Okay. So out of curiosity, I posted a paragraph about these situations on a neighborhood social site called Nextdoor.com. Maybe some of you are familiar with that. And shockingly received over 90 comments from people who had been in near-miss accidents, whether as a cyclist or a driver, some similar to mine, and others who felt that bikers should do what they feel is safer, regardless of the laws. In addition, there were people who felt, and I'm putting 3 points here, there were people who felt that it was safer to ride their bicycles toward traffic so they could see what's coming, that drivers don't respect the rights for cyclists to be on the roads, that many people are not aware that there are actual laws, especially for pedestrians, that people, you say, which side of the road should you be walking on? Well, I want to see the car. They don't know that there's actually something there. Many listed safety reasons for educating and reminding people of laws regarding biking, One, to prevent danger for the cyclists and the drivers. Two, so drivers know where to expect the bicycles. That cyclists know where to expect other cyclists. And to prevent accidents overall, including bicycles, motorized vehicles, and pedestrians. Expecting bicycle signage on the road is a good beginning, but it doesn't talk about what they're supposed to do. You know, the rules for either. And bicycles need to respect that they both have a right to be there, and they both need to travel in ways that are, and my word for the day is predictable. They have to be predictable where they're going to be. And that's the reason for the laws. So these laws, I think, really need to be brought to, even if there are laws, it's not a matter of ticketing people, because that's going to go crazy. But these laws need to be brought to the attention of people to make them more likely to be followed and therefore more predictable, which should then affect the number of accidents that are occurring. Recently, I had another situation in New Paltz where I was, if you picture New Paltz, you're going downhill towards the river. Okay, and I was coming down and a distance from where this happened, but there were no cars between me and where, what happened. A car was coming out of a restaurant driveway towards the road, but not in the road yet, ready to make a right or a left onto Main Street. Can you? Anyway, a biker was coming up the hill at that point, small hill, and going really fast, and ended up hitting the car that's on the side of the road that wasn't moving, and did a roundabout, and the biker ended up on the hood of the car. Now, the biker was mad at the driver again, but the biker was on the wrong side of the road. And the driver was there stopped, waiting, you know, looking for a break in traffic. So again, you know, you have the same kind of thing, and potentially very dangerous. But he could have really gotten hurt. So anyway, the laws are probably all there, but I think there needs to be a way to get them out there more. Not to say beware of bicycles. What does that mean? Bicycles need to be aware of their rules as well. Pedestrians need to be aware of their rules as well. And I actually have some ideas as to how this could be accomplished, if anybody wants to sort of brainstorm that kind of thing, or I can mention a little bit if you want as well. So that's what I wanted to say.
Thank you. I can say, speaking on behalf of the board and the county executive's office, mm-hmm. we have started to do some traffic safety campaigning. Mm-hmm. Messaging in the past 12 to 18 months. I think these efforts are really just beginning to a certain extent. They do require a lot of effort.
Yeah.
And I would be very interested, Carol, in chatting with you more about any ideas you might have about messaging and mm-hmm. focus areas. We recently did distribute 350 vests, which were extremely popular to pedestrians. This was... their high visibility reflective vests for people walking after dark, and that was done in concert with Daylight Savings Time. Mm-hmm. The Traffic Safety That's Board informed that process, and they went within days. They were went very quickly, so hopefully we can partner with some sponsors to continue that. Mm-hmm. And along with the vests were messages, just the stuff might save your life, a safety pamphlet. Mm-hmm. I think the real trouble that we have is we can develop the materials, but getting the messages to the people who really need to be reviewing those messages is the challenge. And that's
right.
The challenge with any public safety campaign. The other point that I would just mention, we do, I think, messaging, we try to do about four a year on main focus areas. The next one, I think, is going to be safe driving in winter. It'll mm-hmm. be a public safety message.
Mm-hmm.
Back to school is another popular
right.
topic. But I will say, with regard to rules of the road and bike safety, our member Tom Polk is not here this evening. Mm-hmm. But he's retired bike safety coordinator from Kingston YMCA. And he has had worked before his retirement for many years training young citizens on proper rules of the road and riding their bicycles defensively and properly. And you may have seen them doing tours through the city. They wear high-vis materials on the weekends. And he has done just an excellent job to the point that we honored him with an award last year for all that hard work he did. I mean, that's the high level of effort and engagement that we do. I think it's the best example. And it's hard to hit a lot of people with that, but the opportunities are out there.
Can I mention some of my ideas?
Please, yeah.
Okay. Through the school, I'm a former school teacher, retired. To the schools, they very often would have a program on disabilities so kids would understand what the disabilities are and how to, you know, it's not something weird and strange. It's, you know, it's acceptable. You just how you, anyway, and the fire department always comes in and says, this is what you do with your clothes are on fire and all this sort of stuff. Well, why I think this is just as important, you know, as, well, maybe between those two, of bringing to the schools and having it maybe every few years. And if you start with the kids and the kids have it as they're growing up, all the kids in the county. I mean, because what you're saying is wonderful, but it's only a certain portion. Right? But this way you can hit everybody. And it doesn't have to be a great big day-long thing. It can just be a half an hour presentation for the school or, you know, every couple of years, like first grade, odd number years or something like that.
I agree. That's a great idea. We actually have an education coordinator who works at the college. And unfortunately, that position has been vacant for over a year. They've been unable to fill that position. But that position is still funded. And I hope to hear efforts from the college at some point to refill that vacancy. But that position is intended to do programs exactly like you're describing.
Well, I'd be happy to work with somebody and come up with ideas, catchy phrases so the kids remember them when they, you know, with what do you do if your clothes catch on fire? You stop, drop, and roll. The kids remember that. My dog knows how to do that.
Can I ask that you submit a copy or email us a copy of the letter that you wrote and also include some of your ideas into it? I'd like to make sure that other members of the board have visibility on this.
Well, this is the beginning.
And they might be able to answer some of your questions directly that you have regarding the laws.
Right.
They are, I would say they would be the experts in biking, pedestrian safety. And I think that, you know, give you some, try to give you some closure on resolving that, because I can understand how frightening it may be having a near miss situation that you had. Doesn't sound like you were in the wrong, you know, so I want to clarify that. But I think having that information on hand, if you could submit that to us just for our records.
Okay.
And that'd be a good starting
point.
This was
the original letter that I had written.
And you can feel free to submit them electronically. It might be easier, but I'm happy, we'll be happy to take it tonight if you have, want to submit it.
Well, I can add some things that I mentioned that are not in here, I suppose.
Sure.
Okay. Very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Welcome to, you guys are just timed it perfectly. We're on public comments now.
Okay. My name is Steve O'Shea. I'm from New Paltz, and I'm sorry I wasn't here to hear the beginning of your letter. I'm on the Bike Pen Committee in New Paltz, and I'm certainly very concerned about bike safety, and my daughter was hit by a car while she was riding her bicycle. So that's
at the intersection of
Butterfield Road and 299. So since then, I always am trying to think of what can be done. I follow Facebook, you know, discussion on Facebook, and there are a lot of people who are very critical of bicycle riders. And I can hear that. I usually see things from the point of view of people who ride bicycles. But I also am a car driver. And when I see people on bikes riding in the wrong direction, I feel like I wish I could speak with them. You know, but it's not easy to stop and talk with someone on a bike. And when I see people riding bicycles in dark colors, at, you know, in the evening, I can't understand it. I don't. It's very worrisome to me. my question, or my comment is, question I think really is, I'm concerned, very concerned right now, especially for pedestrian safety in Village of Naples, this is where I live, and my daughter who suffered a severe brain injury from that collision that happened, walks around in the Village of Naples, uses the pedestrian crossings, and I'm concerned about the safety of the crossings. I wrote to you, thanks for getting back to me earlier.
You're welcome.
Today. One incident that just happened recently was when she was just trying to cross Main Street from the Water Street Market side of Main Street, which would be the south side of Main Street, just to get over to the north side. I happen to be on the north side of Main Street on the rail trail waiting for her to come over. And she, of course, was stepped into the crosswalk. It was a Saturday or Sunday, so there's a lot of traffic. And a car coming from the bridge heading eastbound, saw her and stopped for her. So he was on the same side as she was on. And so she starts to come across. But very, very, very unfortunately, and potentially dangerously, a car coming down the hill apparently did not see her, and he did not stop for her. She was, you know, there's a tendency to assume as one car stops for you that, well, it's probably safe to go across. So that's what she was doing. And what is very concerning to me is that she has a severe vision impairment. She has tunnel vision, so she only sees straight in front of her. So one car stops for her, seems like it's safe to go across, but the car coming down the hill did not stop for her. She had to jump back. She didn't realize until the last second. I couldn't believe what I was seeing, you know. So I contacted the mayor, and I also just recently reached out to Brian and just today. It's interesting that it's actually the village that has jurisdiction over that little segment of Main Street. So yes, I need to really bring my concern to the mayor and the village board about one possible remedy is an RRFB. What does it stand for again? Rectangular reflective
flashing
beacons. Right, and they work very, very well on Route 32 South, between the college and the big parking lot where the students park. So some students were struck some years ago, and since then the RRFBs, an actual traffic light that's controlled by pedestrians, is also there. So there's a lot of good safety features in place there. So I was thinking that could be a solution. One time, somebody on our bike pedestrian board thought, well, little flags that pedestrians can carry. I just don't think that they do it. Yeah, no, I don't think that's the answer. Yeah, I think we need something a little stronger than that. So I haven't heard back from the mayor, but I did write to him after this happened, I guess I'll get back to him, give him a little bit more time, and I'll just get back to him again. I'm sure he's heard. I'm sure there've been other close calls like that at that location.
And even Kingston, not just Naples.
You mean the issue of
crosswalks?
Yeah, I live in Naples, so that's why I'm just talking about what I see in Naples.
I can just mention, as I briefly mentioned in the response, that there was a petition I saw not long ago. It wasn't very well informed, in my opinion, about safety concerns in that same general area. And I provided a pretty detailed response, and we did do a crash analysis in our office. But as I had mentioned, That segment is owned and maintained by the Village of New Paltz, so any improvements would be the Village's responsibility. If they want to seek state or federal aid to do improvements, that would be, I think, warranted and justified. But there's several locations. There's the intersection of, what is it, by the old Gilded Otter there, that street. That's Huguenot
Street.
And then the street across from that is
Water Street.
I want to call it River Street.
Yep.
They're very wide intersections, huge turning radii. They could be tightened up. There's a lot of low-cost and middle-cost level improvements that could be made in that area, along with an RRFB at that location. These are not terribly expensive. I wouldn't consider them to be cost prohibitive, in the order of, I don't know, $15,000 to $30,000, maybe even lower, somewhere in that range. It's difficult because they have to be engineered. These are doable things, but the Village needs to take ownership of its roadway, and I think the Village is capable of doing that. And of course, Nichol from Region 8 DOT, I know you're being kept abreast, is working on some safety assessments of the main section of Main Street, and we hope to see results, I would imagine, sometime in 2025.
There was a study done, right? In the summer?
Yeah, when we say study, he's gathering data. I'm not aware of any results at this point in time, but Region 8 is looking to, I would hope the results of that analysis would point towards some improvements to safer crosswalks and additions like RRFBs, but that segment by the middle school is DOT owned and so maintained.
The middle school made quite a few improvements not too awful long ago. They changed some of the crosswalk configuration and the locations there. And I know we do have a pedestrian contract coming out that's going to make a pretty good investment in New Paltz this coming year.
That's great.
So
when you say you, is it?
It's the DOT.
DOT, yeah,
yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So I would recommend you continue to hound us and make sure that the responsible parties are responding and staying up to speed on these issues. So.
Okay. Could I bring up one more thing?
Of course.
Okay. You're with the DOT. So my other concern for pedestrians is the crosswalk at Oakwood Terrace.
I saw your email.
Right. Okay. And I just wondered if there's any update, because what my concern there, and I've so many people, I've seen it many times myself. Main Street is very, very wide at that location. And so what happens is a westbound car will stop for a pedestrian who's coming from the college side, okay, from the south side. We'll stop. But there's enough room on the right for cars to go around. And it can be very busy sometimes. So I think that right, that option to go around a car has to be blocked.
I agree with you, and I've floated a few things past our traffic and safety group, and we've gotten a couple things back. The issue, it floated the concept of, like we have along the Broadway corridor, bringing the parking out, but more with pavement markings, because again, this is something that the Village could do at a low cost, because we don't have any. There's a lot of close calls there, and there's a lot of different competing priorities in the area. There's a couple different things. I'm still working on it. The problem is that if we do with pavement markings and signage, it's how do we maintain it? You've got drainage to deal with. You've got snow removal. One thing, if you do one thing, it could create another issue. So I'm still trying to brainstorm that a little bit, and I do plan on following up with the mayor.
Is the concern that traffic will back up?
No.
Okay,
no,
so that's not that. It's just
maintenance. How do we bring the, without changing the curb and the drainage, how do we get the cars to stay there? How do you introduce signage? And then if we can't, in the wintertime, if we can't remove snow for the past 6 or 8 feet, how does the water get to the drains? Now we have icing issues. Everything has to work in synergy. There's a whole roadway envelope to think about. So if we offset something, it could create another problem. So working through those challenges. It's not just, on paper it looks like a very simple solution, but there's a lot more, to think about, so. So there's more to come.
My final thing would be, you know, with all the great construction going on with the bike pedestrian lane on Henry DuBois, I'm so happy about that. Thanks for everything that you've done to help that.
I can't take any credit for that.
Town of New Paltz.
Yep, that's the town.
Great job that's being done.
Sure it is.
So I see cones. It just seems like cones or bollards or, you know, something like that would be a simple, low-cost solution to just block that way of going around the stopped car.
Well, we've talked about, we've looked at, there is, you know, you have the supplemental pedestrian channelizing crossing device, SPCCD. It says yield for pedestrians in crosswalks. They can be placed within the crosswalk on state highways. It's an actual device. It's a little thing. It's on a rubber mounted thing. It's up to the communities to use them. We've tried them in certain areas, but they get, you know, with wide loads, with different vehicles, with turning movements, they can become projectiles. They can be difficult to maintain. Anything that's not fixed, it's a struggle. Cones, bollards, again, you got to think about maintenance. There's a lot of other things around it. So, the conversation is, it's on my desk. I got sketches. I have been trying to methodically work through it. Brian and I have a couple of conversations, and I do plan on having a follow-up meeting. I was going to wait till after the holidays and just kind of explain where we are and a couple potential things that the village could look into. They would have to do some engineering on their own and, you know, and make an investment there in the pavement markings. But it's something I have a little bit of a gateway on what could be allowed and what may not be allowed. I believe what you had sent in, it was the big red pavement markings, right?
In Kingston,
the email.
Okay.
The red actually, on the federal manual, red denotes transit. That is, you know, pavement markings, that's where buses are supposed to stop.
Oh.
It's not, whether it's being used properly in Kingston or not, it's a local road, it's not our thing, but to do something on a state highway, we have to follow, you know, very, very closely to the manual of uniform traffic control devices, and red isn't a particular option. Not to say another color might be, but that, you know, I know the concept of what we're looking for, and that's what I'm trying to fit into that.
So, what's your name?
My name is Dave Corrigan.
Okay. And you were in the meeting that we had last summer, I think.
Yes.
Yeah, a lot of people in that meeting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks, Dave.
Yeah, absolutely. It's nice to meet you face to face, because when I heard your name, I definitely recognized it. Yes.
I like the idea of putting up cones as a temporary measure. That would help, but you're saying, I think, that they might get pushed aside by...
It's all well and good until the snow comes down.
Well, even if, I don't know, are you thinking that even when they can be put up, it would be helpful?
I would think so.
We
don't get as much snow as we used to.
We never know. And see, and to just tie back to one thing that you said, the predictability thing, we have to give drivers a reasonable expectancy on what they're going to encounter when they go through an area. So if it's there one day and not the other, we're getting away from that predictability and that reasonable expectancy. There's a lot of moving parts to it. If it was simpler, it would have been done already.
So. Yeah. Any other comments?
A couple topics. In the city of Kingston, the Complete Streets Advisory Council is having DPW come in and speak to them about DPW, Department of Public Works.
Okay.
The city of Kingston Department of Public Works is going to be coming into the Complete Streets Advisory Council because it is often the excuse of maintenance. We can't afford the maintenance to actually put out put out a chicane or make bollards, because then how do you get into... But there are ways around it. There, you can buy small trail-sized vehicles to be able to facilitate bollards. There's small snow plows that can go between the bollards and the sidewalk. Bollards will still allow the drainage to come. The parking is another one that you mentioned, moving it out and having the parking be a buffer. But it's important. It's very important to have a physical barrier. Paint alone is not going to be making anybody safe. In terms of crosswalks, I've been thinking about crosswalks. In the city of Kingston, right now, Archtop Fiber is putting in a lot of new wires on the existing poles. And most of our lights for the streets are on those utility poles. On the main streets, there's some that have their own lamp posts. And that's where we are able to have pedestrian height and focused light. But the rest of the areas in the city of Kingston, it's these very high lights that really focus on shining light on the vehicular traffic. And we don't have lights in a lot of places near the crosswalks. So we need pedestrian, instead, we need pedestrian-focused lighting and crosswalk-focused lighting in many places that we don't have in Kingston. One holdup, which I hope that people start thinking about solutions for, is when you don't have buried wires, you've got a certain level that each use needs to go to. And the electric's at the top, and it needs to be 40 feet away from the next thing, so like a telephone or whatever, cable, is way below it. So you can't have lamps below that. So we're not going to get on those poles, those wire and utility poles, lamps that are going to be helping us with crosswalks. And then if we have posts and we're not bearing the wires, we're also not going to be able to string those wires from the other post, because you can't have wires that are too low, because then that with emergency vehicles and trucks, you need to have the wires also a certain height. So it's a real problem, not adequate lighting where pedestrians are. And so in the meantime, all the more reason to, as often as we can, have raised crosswalks, have chicanes, have bump outs.
What's all a chicane? That.
Chicane is where it kind of tightens the road. And it kind of it indicates to the driver that this is it kind of tricks them into thinking it's less big than it is. So that's the pedestrian thoughts. Thank you for hearing that. And then I wanted to talk about the route optimization study. I understand that the current variables are just, they're not the be-all, end-all. So we had two public meetings that the general public was allowed to come to. The first one introduced the project, and the second one was recently gave us the update on what they've been working on, and it had a couple of variables. It was stressed that these are not the be-all, end-all, that not necessarily what's going to happen. But the thing that we learned at that second meeting was, so the first meeting we were told that there might be, a possibility would be to totally revamp the system, maybe not have a hub and spoke model, maybe have more connections, and something that's a little more radical. But we ended up with pretty mild changes. And my understanding is the limit, and I'll tie this into safety in a second, but the understanding is the limit is it was looked at just in terms of the funding from the extra 1% from hotels. So that would increase the budget of UCAT 25%, is the estimate of what that, there was the hospitality tax was 2%, I believe, and then it was raised to 4%, 1% going to transit, 1% going to housing. And so that 1% is estimated to bring in what would be equal to 25% above what UCAT's current budget is. Looking at what's being proposed, it's certainly nowhere near enough. We need to be doing better if we're ever going to get cars off the road, and it's very important to be getting cars off the road. We have places in Ulster County where transit could actually do that more than others, particularly New Paltz and Kingston. People could start relying on transit when they're not just a captive rider. But if we're not, this what's proposed now is there's no Sunday service still, and not many people are going to opt out of a car if you don't have the same quality of life that you would if you had a car. Nobody's going to opt in. We're not going to take cars off the road with what's proposed. And we need to start taking cars off the road. We need to make room for bike lanes. We need to make room for wider sidewalks. We need to have people to have other options, because as it is now, we listen to the people who are in their cars saying, I can't get to where I need to go. And reality is there are not a lot of safe choices besides being in your car. And so we need to be able to offer people safe choices, and a huge part of that is taking cars off the road. Thank you.
Thank you. Moving on the agenda, member updates. I'll start with member updates. I have nothing significant to report from previous month and this month for New York City Reservoir Roads.
I attended the Mid-Hudson Transportation Supervisors Association meeting, and there, just to make you aware, there's a potential legislation change of when a school bus has its four ways on, and right now the law says that if we have an undivided highway, we need to stop. There's legislation to change that so that if it's a divided highway, you will not have to stop.
And when you say four ways, do you mean the red lights?
Red lights.
Gotcha.
Yep.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That is where a lot of the confusion lies.
So, like, if you take a four-lane roadway, like, out in 9W,
yep.
And you have a school bus that stops, a lot of the traffic coming in the opposite direction is not stopping.
From a school bus driver, is, you know, if you have a four-lane road, would you ever let anyone off and expect them to cross all four lanes on a divided
no.
highway?
Okay. No.
So you would never encounter anybody coming across in that situation on a divided
sure.
highway.
Sure.
I'm assuming that the routes are planned out in advance to avoid those types
yeah.
of conflicts.
Yeah. Because even on like 299, we're always dropping students off on the proper side,
mm-hmm.
so they do not have to cross.
Yes. Yeah, 299, they would still have to stop, but if they were on the four lane in 9W, they would. Or 28, different.
Correct.
I see it on 28, but I see, you know, if
yeah.
they're going
yes.
no, you know, towards you, Kingston,
yes.
everybody stops.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's, well, the yeah, segments of 28, it would only be if it's actually divided, if it has
it's
a positive
divided.
Barrier, right?
Yeah.
A grass median or rail, essentially. If it was a four-lane highway without a physical barrier, they would still have
they
to stop.
They would still have to stop, correct. But it may take years before it even goes through.
Yeah.
But just to make you aware that it is
being I've heard different iterations of that back and forth.
With the automated cameras in Dutchess County and elsewhere, particularly Long Island, it's created quite a bit of consternation.
Okay.
They're just doling out thousands of tickets
oh, wow.
in those situations,
yeah. okay.
Which is something of an unintended consequence.
Yeah.
It's an educating moment.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting to see that the legislature seems to be responding. So, yeah. Thank you.
Excuse me, I have to leave, but thank you everybody for listening, and thank you, Brian, for yep. getting back to me.
We'll be in touch, Carol. Thank you for your time.
Have a good night.
From the Transportation Council, unfortunately, we received word from the Federal Highway Administration that we did not receive our Safe Streets for All grant. This was for a planning grant to do an update to our countywide crash study that was completed in 2019. I've requested a debrief. I was pretty surprised about this. I thought we had a really strong proposal, and they're giving, I mean, many counties have received these grants, so it may have been a technicality. It's really, it's a little frustrating because it's a setback. We're really planning from a schedule perspective. We put our eggs in that basket. So it's back to the drawing board. We'll fund it with our own grant money. I don't mind doing that. We've done it in the past. But it's a little frustrating and what I think was a relatively minor setback. They have not, but I requested a debrief, so we'll find out. It may have been a technicality, submitted something was missing. We did do a minor update to the draft plan in 2023 to meet some of the requirements that were added under the bipartisan infrastructure law so that some of our municipalities could use our document to apply for the grant funding. That may have been a strategic error if they said, saw 2023 update, well, why do you need the funding if you just did an update? So we'll find out, and then we'll address it. But having that level of data every 5 years is so critical to the work we do, to prioritizing the work we do, because we have such limited funding. This is a systemic crash analysis where we look at all crashes, pedestrian, bicycle, automotive, motorcycle, and normalize the rates based on the volumes on our roads so that we really know where abnormally high rates of crashes are occurring. And those are the areas that we would recommend you focus on investments. So we hope to have an update to that document in the near future. The Route 9W Corridor Management Plan, the mobility study, is nearly complete. We received quite a few comments on the draft. A lot of support for the recommendations in there, even though there are some recommendations that were something of a lightning rod, like a two-lane roundabout at the intersection of Ulster and 9W. They've received a lot of support for that significant recommendation. I expected to really hear a lot of negative things. Every recommendation had mixed comments, but overall, when you look at the major components of the study, each component had well above 50% support for the recommendation. And that's everything from coordinated signals to improving crosswalks, pedestrian infrastructure, and things of that nature. So we're making revisions. We had quite a few comments, some important ones from members of the public, some good additions, so we're getting everything in there. That study should be done this month and published and finalized. We'll give a final presentation to the town on the results. We are also completing a railroad safety crossing study that was being conducted by WSP engineering consulting firm. David Stoss was the project manager, so there was a bit of a rift when he left, and I've been picking that up, trying to wrap it up. But that focuses on the main surface, at-grade rather, crossing locations in the city of Kingston with CSX Rail. And there's some really good recommendations for improving those crossings. If you look at the aerial photographs of those areas, they're just in very rough shape, and they really could use modernization. The city is already taking the initiative to do that at Flatbush and Foxhall, and has a grant in place to make those improvements. So we hope that this study will help to improve the remaining crossings as well. The last update that I want to give is, it's an important one in planning circles, and I want to just make sure everyone's aware. All federal funds that are used for transportation purposes by law have to be put on the Transportation Improvement Program, the TIP. It's a document that I maintain in the office. It's a listing of all those federal aid transportation projects. The purpose of the TIP is transparency, and so that people are aware of what investments are coming into their communities. We update that TIP every 2 to 3 years. So we are commencing our regular 2 to 3 year update, and I have fiscal targets, which is what our colleagues at Region 8 DOT provide us with, the amount of money that is estimated to be available for the transportation system in the next 3 years. We will be assessing the existing projects against available dollars, and I anticipate money to be left over for new projects. How that money will be distributed has yet to be determined. It will be likely competitive or merit-based. We have to establish criteria and priorities for distribution of the funding, but it could be used by our municipalities for some of the safety improvements that are being talked about here today, or other improvements. There are 4 different funding categories. It's a relatively arcane process, but overall, the long and the short of it is that this is good news for the citizens of Ulster County, that in the 13 years that I've been here, we've never really been able to do a call for new projects because we've had funding shortfalls and flat funding. So this is the first opportunity for us to begin to distribute money for new projects, and we will keep the public apprised. The primary audience for this process are the highest elected officials in Ulster County. They're the ones who receive my direct communication on the process. There will be public meetings and presentations throughout 2025 regarding the update. So more to come there. Those are all the updates I have at the Transportation Council.
Thanks, Brian.
Yep.
New York State DOT, right now we're basically just switching gears and focusing on our snow and ice program. Our staff started shift work today, so we basically have coverage on a Monday through Friday basis from 3:30 in the morning until 8:30 at night. If there's any issues with any inclement weather, we're on 24/7. We have a process now. Every time we are going to, if there's a forecasted event, I do let our partners at State Police, Ulster County Sheriff, Ulster County Emergency Management know that we will be on, and I give them supervisor contact information directly. So if there is an issue, we have as expedited as a response as absolutely possible. So that's worked out very well for the past few years, and that's basically our standard operating protocol at this point in time. So other than that, we'll be out on the roads, not taking on a lot of big projects since our staff changed at noontime. So our daylight hours are kind of limited. So you'll see a little bit of patching, some mastic repairs, some tree and brush work, and whatnot. But that's basically where we're staged for the winter.
Are you guys still doing the pre-treatment when you guys get a winter advisory?
Or yes, we
three
do.
3 inches or whatever it was.
Yeah,
I forget what it was.
We actually, and thanks for bringing it up because it just reminded me of something. So, yeah, we will pre-treat our rows with brine under the right circumstances. So we got to look at the temperatures, how much existing road salt is out there. You know, when the roads are not black anymore and they're completely white from the residual, there's really not that same need to. But we do have a pilot program going on. It's throughout the state. We've been chosen because they wanted to do a run in the Catskills. So one of our beats we've modified that goes from our Mount Trapper facility on Route 28 in the town of Shandaken down to Route 375, that's going to be a DLA beat, which stands for direct liquid application. There will be no granular salt on that truck. That truck will have a liquid tank on it, and it will be spraying salt brine instead of actual granular salt. It can go at a higher rate than our typical brine application is. Our usual rate's about 30 gallons of brine per lane mile when we pre-treat. This will be anywhere from 40 gallons up to 90 gallons per lane mile. They're looking to see, that gives us an opportunity to reduce our salt usage even more. So we will be running that truck regularly. As long as it's working, we'll use it. We do have a backup if for some reason we're falling behind. There is another truck sitting there loaded with granular salt to take right over.
So salt brine allows the department to use less salt on our roads?
Correct.
Wow.
Correct.
Yep.
That's
less weight?
That's the idea, the amount of salt that goes into the brine. That's the idea of the pre-treat, too, that we don't have to necessarily go out with our heavier application. That there's already a layer on there that creates that brine when it hits the ground. So they've been using it in the Adirondacks for a couple of years. They do have some pretty good results with it. The infrastructure that's required to support that is pretty significant. Throughout the course of the good storm, we can go through upwards of 10,000 plus gallons of material. So, we have to have a reliable water supply. We make the brine here in Kingston, with City of Kingston water, and we transfer it up to, we transfer it out to all our different yards. That's our facility, our brine making facility is here. So, it could be a little more ideal if we could run it out of the Kingston yard, but they wanted to try something in the Catskills, and that's what we're doing. So they have had good results in other areas, but to think about going full scale would be pretty substantial amount of water and just infrastructure to maintain that, and you also have that loading time. We did get a pretty good sized pump, so I think we can load a truck. It's somewhere 13 to 18 minutes, I think, to load up our 1,600-gallon tank, which isn't bad, but, our salt turnover time, we can load a truck a little bit quicker than that with granular material. So there's a little bit of a trade-off there. But.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Conclude member updates. We'll move on to old business. Right.
Yeah, I can run through these. I have no updates on the Ulster County bike and ped policy, education outreach activities. The vest distribution was very successful. The vest went like hotcakes. They were gone within 1 or 2 days from most of the sites. So I have tried to offload this to the county executive's office and their staff. They're very interested in doing a phase two, and I am encouraging them to do that. I also submitted a winter safety message to the county executive's communication staff, and they're all for it. They just need a little bit of breathing space. I got it to them about a week before the first snowfall in the Catskills, but they said we're a little busy now, but we'll get to it as soon as we can. So hopefully we'll see it this month or early in January. Reappointments, I did have a list. I don't know if everyone got it at the front of the table. This is the official list of members from the County Executive's Office. I didn't want to explain a few things. There are some variations. I was under the assumption that everyone's appointment expired at the end of the calendar year. It's not the case. Polk, Kleppner, Quinn, and Rice, their appointments actually expire at the end of March. Everyone else's expires at the end of January. And to add another wrinkle to the issue, the County Executive's Office does feel that the total membership is 12 plus 1. I'm getting conflicting reports. So the county charter says the Traffic Safety Board shall consist of 12 members, and the coordinator will serve ex officio, which means I can vote. So does that mean 11 members plus the coordinator is 12, or 12 members plus the coordinator is 13? I don't know, and I'm not guessing. And I put it in the county executive's office. They have said that they would contact the attorney's office for an opinion. I was under the impression that opinion had already been given. So we'll see what they say, and then we'll go forward with that. So there may be an extra appointment coming. But if you're wondering when your term expires, this is the official list. We have two new members that will begin in February. Mr. Councilman Mark Cassidy from the town of Rosendale will be joining us. He's a new councilman, and I believe he's a bike and pedestrian advocate. The county executive said he was highly recommended, so she will be adding Mr. Cassidy as a member, so it's great that he brings the perspective of the town of Rosendale. Lieutenant Safarth from the town of Ulster Police Department will also be joining as well. So, in addition, we may have one or as many as two vacancies that will require filling. So, that's in the county executive's corner at this point. We have some people in mind. I'm trying to think. New Paltz Police among them, as well as somebody from the schools was someone we thought would be great. A public comment tonight was, how do we get into the schools? We talked about with the School Bus Driver of the Year Award. If we could get not necessarily a resource officer, because I think we're well represented by police already, although I wouldn't be opposed to a resource officer. Somebody from the schools who has that background, I think, would be a great addition. Otherwise, if there are individuals in mind, please let us know. But appointments are made by the county executive, approved by the legislature.
I agree. Like I said, I'd like to see that Rosendale was great. I'd like to see somebody in the southern count side, that Ellenville section the county. The other thing I thought of was maritime. You know, boating. Boating is also transportation. And I don't think we've ever had representation on that end of that. Just for consideration, you know, the peace of mind thought.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. So if you have individuals in mind, please let me know, and we'll continue to work on making sure our board is fully appointed. Mr. Cassidy and Lieutenant Safarth are not here tonight. I forgot to add them to the distribution list, so I'll get them on there.
Do we know who has said they're not? Did you send out an email?
Yeah. So the declines include Steve Rice, Joe Sinagra, and Tom Polk.
Okay.
So Rice and Polk will continue to – I've let at least Tom know. Tom's out of the country right now, or he's on vacation. That he still has, his term doesn't expire until March. So hopefully he'll be able to join us for one or two more times. So that's the latest on appointments.
Perfect.
D and E were just follow-ups on our last meeting discussion. I can drop those or keep them on for the next meeting in case there's any follow-up.
Fair enough. All right. I'll close out old business and open it up to new business.
With elections of officers, we're three short of a quorum, so I think we can postpone or table that item. The annual report, that's me. I just want to make people aware that we do publish an annual report that is due to the county legislature. I think it says no later than March of each year. And the current report, I just started to look at the statistics that are in it. It's just basic. I have some basic crash statistics. In 2023, crashes in most categories continue to rise, which is unfortunate. I had hoped that we had seen our peak. But 2023 does follow that same post-pandemic or that pandemic trend of high crash rates. So maybe this is the peak. And as we go into 2024, we'll hopefully see some declines. Although we know in this calendar year, it started off with some horrible tragedies on our roadways. So we'll wait and see what the data says. Otherwise, I do the usual updates on grant awards and other information summarizing topics discussed. If there's anything you want to see in the Traffic Safety Board annual report, just please let me know, and we can think about ways to get it in there. So I'll probably have a draft around February for people to review. Item C, the Governor's Traffic Safety Committee Traffic Safety Awards for 24. I have the list there. They're at the table. Just for everyone's information, these are the awards that were provided. So congratulations to all recipients. Town of Lloyd, Marlboro, New Paltz, Saugerties all received PTS grants and CPS grants, Police Traffic Services, Child Passenger Safety Program. And the community college, as I mentioned, they have a grant of $100,000 for personnel to do traffic safety education. I understand fully the difficulty everyone's facing with staffing. It's universal. Doesn't matter what field. So at some point I'll check back in with the college to see if they're planning on reposting that position. And the next round of grants will be, I believe it's typically May, due in May. Item D, just to make everyone aware and a reminder, there is a ArcGIS online crash viewer. This is an online mapping tool that's maintained by the Governor's Traffic Safety Committee. Our office created our own, and it has 5 or 6 years of crash data. So you can just zoom in on different parts of the county and see where crashes occurred within that 5 to 6 year time frame. The GTSC traffic crash viewer is much more detailed, and it's available to anyone with a .gov email. So the city of Kingston has jumped on interest in getting an account so that they can examine, do their own crash analyses on their own. I'm short-staffed these days, so any municipality who wants to start to do their own analyses, I'm going to encourage as much as I can. So that's just a resource that's available to, again, anyone with a .gov email address who's working in the field of traffic safety, just generally speaking. And it's very useful, I'm told. I know Sergeant Vetter from the Sheriff's Department uses it. It's very useful for grant writing. So it's a resource that GTSC can get folks signed up with. And then finally, the New York State DOT Roadway Departure Safety Action Plan is now available. This is a federally required component of the Highway Safety Improvement Program. So if you're using those funds on our roadways, you have to do this plan every 5 years, more or less. The focus this year is on keeping cars on the road and reducing roadway departure, as this name implies. And the link is in the agenda to the direct report. Ulster County, I believe, is going to be a focus county in the state. It's the leading cause of crashes on Ulster County roadways is roadway departures. So there's several focus areas to better understand roadways, roadway departures and why they're occurring, and how to focus resources on keeping cars on the road to begin with. And if they go off the road, make sure the occupants are safe, I imagine, and get home safely. So as Dave mentioned, there's going to be a significant investment from DOT implementing some of the recommendations of the plan. So that's just for everyone's information.
Perfect. Yep. That brings us to other business. Nothing on the agenda? Other than that? That concludes our meeting. Is there any last alibis?
Next meeting is January 6th.
Yes.
I would imagine we will hold the meeting. We still have to do elections. Folks will hopefully have their batteries recharged after the holidays. I'll do my usual call for agenda items, but my plan is, since it's not so close to the holiday, I imagine we'll have it. We'll see what happens.
Agreed.
Sounds
good. Maybe a week after, so we'll get a little...
I'll make a motion.
Second. Done. Adjourned.
Right. Great.
Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, everyone. 7:05.